Well, my name is Gina Nicola, and I am on staff here at New Life Church, and I am really excited to be here with you guys as we enter into Thanksgiving week. And most of us are very excited about this time. Many people would say it is their favorite holiday out of all of the holidays. And I think it's because most of us love those times where we can gather with the people we don't see very often. We get together with our families, our kids come home from college. We get to travel and maybe go to some place where we feel welcomed and warm. And we just get to do it not just with family, with friends and with neighbors. And we meet new people sometimes. And a lot of times we do this and we reminisce and we are thankful around what you hope is a great meal. And I say hope because in September, I have been married 20 years. And we got married, thank you, we got married right before the holidays. And so what happened was, is somehow someone thought it was a good idea that we have Thanksgiving in our tiny apartment 2 months after we've been married. And the problem is David and I both do not know how to cook very well, especially at this time in our lives. But we are going for it, and we've decided this is what we'll do. David's dad was coming to visit. We had just met him 6 months before, so we were really excited to share our first holiday with him. My mom was coming from down here up to the Bay Area where we lived, and we were doing our best to make it look like everybody else's Thanksgiving dinner. You know, all the sides and all the appetizers and all the things we could probably feed an army, but we just wanted it to look awesome. And so our parents come. His dad came first. He was very gracious, just felt just praise and felt really, really connected to us over the fact that we put so much effort into putting out this food. I had called my mom earlier in the morning and said, how do you do this thing? And so she had walked me through step by step on how to do a turkey. And so I threw it in the oven and she said, by the time I get up there, we'll probably be pretty close to being done. So she gets there and she's really excited. But the first couple minutes she says to me, how come we don't smell turkey? And in my mind, I'm like, whatever, maybe not every turkey smells, you know, so I just let it go. So she comes in and she sees everything and she's talking to David's dad and she just can't help herself. She's like, you really should be smelling turkey right now. And so she walks to the oven and she opens it up and she just looks at it. She kind of looks at me like, what in the world is happening? And the oven had died. And so we did not know. Obviously, I knew nothing about basting or checking on it because I had no idea. And so we had this undone stuffed turkey in there. It was pouring rain that day. And so David, we lived in an apartment complex and they actually had an oven in the common area. And so David covered it with foil and he ran it to the common area. And what we did is we ate all the sides and all the appetizers and the dessert and had turkey at 10 o'clock at night. And so it didn't quite go as planned, but it was an amazing time. It was full of memories. We even couldn't get it out of the pan because we were just married and no one gave us those things to get it out with. And so that was comical in itself. But I bring it up because it's a great memory. At the time, I think I was mortified that I didn't do it right the first time. But now, all these years later, it's a great story. David's dad had died 3 years later. And so we look at that as the time where we really got to get to know him and start this journey with him for as long as we had to know him. And it was a great memory. We get to share it with our daughter and how Thanksgiving doesn't have to be perfect. It's not all about the food. But it's a great time to reminisce and think. And as believers, we have this opportunity in front of others, I'm hoping, that we're always grateful and thankful every day. But this holiday is not just about food and what we have, but an opportunity to declare and walk out and show the love of Christ to everybody that we meet that day. When we gather with family who maybe don't know him. When we gather with neighbors and friends and they're kind of questioning why we would even invite them over to begin with. But we're showing their love by gathering and joining together. So this is a great holiday season in which we are not only thankful for that, but we're thankful for our God on high, who loves us, for our salvation, for the Word of God. I mean, without the Bible, we wouldn't really know what we're doing. It has so much instruction. These heroes that we've been looking at, where we're following along and reading how they lived their life. They weren't perfect people. Some of them were known and some of them weren't. But they did their best to follow in faith and walk out the will of God. And that's what we're trying to do. And so today, like Mark said, we're looking at Moses. And there is a ton of information on Moses. I don't know if you've ever tried to just dig in and be like, I'm just going to read about Moses. It's a long time to do that. And so it was a lot of information. And so what I tried to do is, how do I narrow down this guy's life so we can get kind of an idea of who he was? And so what we find out in the Bible is that he was only with his biological parents for 3 months. He had to be hidden because Pharaoh was ordering that all baby boys be killed, the daughters could live, they wanted them to be thrown into the river. So they hid him to protect him. They could no longer protect him anymore, so they put him in the Nile and they sent him off. And who finds him but Pharaoh's daughter? She finds him, she draws him out of the water, which that's where his name comes from, Moses. It means to be drawn out. And that's significant that she drew him out, but it's even more significant in the fact that Moses draws out God's people from Egypt. At Acts 7:22, it says, Moses was educated in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and in action. At 40 years old, Moses killed a man, and after finding out that everyone knew about it, he fled and went to Midian. After that, he became a shepherd. He got married. He had 2 sons. At 80 years old, an angel appeared to him in a burning bush, in which he heard the Lord speak to him, where God sees his people are oppressed and he wants to rescue him. So he sends Moses back and he wants them to go back and bring them back out because God wants to deliver them himself. He leads them out of Egypt and he performs wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and for 40 years in the wilderness. Then we know that Moses was given the Ten Commandments that were written by the finger of God on stone tablets. Moses had spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai, and he came down with the Ten Commandments. We know that Moses lived to be 120 years old, and he died in the land of Moab. And what was interesting is that he was buried in the land of Moab, and actually no man has ever seen his grave. But we know that that's where he was buried. So from birth to death, we can read all about Moses. And trust me, there is a ton of stuff in there about what he did. His humanness, his faithfulness, his fears, his shortcomings, his running away. His making mistakes just like the rest of us. But he's still a hero. And what I wanted to do is be able to pull out some points that we can apply to our lives today. To our relationship with God today. To each other. How we relate to one another. And to how to deal with some of the difficult times that are going on in this world today. So the very first point that I want to look at is that God uses the humble and not the proud. God uses the humble and not the proud. Why not the proud? What is it about proud people that it's hard to partner with them? I mean, it's a lot of times that they are always right. Their ideas seem better than yours. You want to be on their team and you're trying to work together and every idea you have seems to be shot down. They have a tendency to lift themselves up and be higher and try to place themselves on a higher level than we are. So the proud are really, really difficult to work with. In the Bible, when you look up the word proud, you find the word arrogant is along with it several times. That people who are proud have a tendency about being arrogant. And so Moses comes from the land of Egypt. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. He was in royalty. He was probably set to be the next king. And so he needed to find this humble part of him. He needed to be humbled. In Proverbs 15:25 says, "The Lord tears down the house of the proud." But why be humbled? Because we need to rely on God. We have to figure out how small we are. We need to get to a place where we're not just going to do it ourselves. And Moses achieves this, so much so that this is written in Numbers 12:3. "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Anyone else on the face of the earth. Can you imagine God writing that about you? For all mankind to read. What an incredible thing to have written about you, being the most lowly, humble, dependent person on the entire face of the earth. In Romans 12:16, it says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position." So Moses comes from high position. He had all the wealth, power, authority. They had slaves. And now he's a shepherd. He doesn't lead slaves or soldiers or armies. He's leading sheep. He has become the lowest of the low according to the Egyptians. And he's at a place in life where he depends on God. He's not looking for status. He doesn't want to be seen as all that. He wants to blend in and be able to associate with people of low position. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." So what it's asking us is, recognize just how small we really are. How powerful are we apart from God? We're so small. And in reading Moses' life and all the power that we see that God has, and he shows the Israelites and the Egyptians, that we come to a place where we realize that we are powerless without God. How tiny we really are. And in our powerlessness, in that dependence on God, what happens when we spend a lot of time with him? What happens when we're always leaning in and trying to hear and read his word and know what he's saying? We're filling up. Spirit is filling us. And we become people who are filled with God's love and grace and mercy and patience. And that's what starts pouring out of us. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud." The more humble we are, the more we need him, the more we spend time with him, the more we sit and listen and talk and read his instruction, the more we fill up with what we're going to pour out to others. Many of us could use a lot more patience, especially at the holidays, where we are challenged with different personalities and family. Just weirdness galore. And so this is a season in which we have the opportunity to press in, to sit and listen and read his word so we can have that patience and love like no other, where we don't get caught up in the fighting and the grumbling and the arguments. Moses was a great example. They would grumble. They just brought all these people out into the land, and they rescue them and they free them, and they grumble about it. They still want more. Moses is challenged about why is he the one who gets that God talks to, that he speaks for. And Moses doesn't say anything. He allows God to speak for him and to fight his battles. And that's the next point that we're going to look at. And that is, God will fight our battles for us. He'll fight our battles for us. As they left Egypt in Exodus 13, you can read that God was their guide. He was with them all the time as a pillar in a cloud and a pillar of fire. The cloud would give him shade during the day, and the fire would give them both light and heat at night. So he was with them all the time. He was always walking, guiding, and directing. But the thing that we have to realize is that he's always fighting for us. He was fighting for them, and he's fighting for us now, that he'll fight our battles. In Exodus 14, 13 to 14, it says, "Moses answered the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.'" The Lord will fight for us. They're grumbling. They're fearful. Fear is a normal reaction to when someone wants to hurt you, when someone wants to end your life, when we're threatened. Fear is a normal reaction. We're not saying that you should never, ever feel fear. But one of the things I want us to look at this is the part where it says, "Be still." It's not just don't move. It's listen. Don't talk. Press in. Think about what fear does to some of us. For some of us, it causes us to feel out of control. And so we start feeling like the whole world is collapsing and everything's falling apart, and we start complaining and we break down and we feel like we're losing our minds. Or there's the other people who get to a place where they feel so fearful that they decide they're going to hunker down. They're going to take control of everything. And they grab hold and they try to fix it. And they just hang on. And what Moses is saying is, don't do anything. Maybe we should sit and be still and know that he has got this. That he's in control and that he will fight our battles for us. That maybe instead of reacting when we're challenged, or maybe getting to a place where we don't feel like we have to fix it immediately, instead we sit. We're completely still. And we actually wait to see what God directs. Will he handle it? What would he do? How would Jesus react? Maybe I shouldn't react at all, and I'll let God correct them. I'll let God deal with that comment or that insult instead of us having to battle and trying to be one up or be right or come out the winner. No one wins in those situations. We usually feel pretty terrible about ourselves trying to be on top. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I know in times when we're stressed out, when we don't know how to respond to people, when we feel attacked, we can feel like God has left us. He's not hearing this. We have this thought like, why aren't you fixing it? But we have to believe and know what is true and stand firm that he is with us all the time. He never runs away. He never misses a beat. And he's always fighting. It's just that sometimes the battles and the results don't come out the way we want them to. He knows what's best, not we really don't know what's best. So we have to trust and we have to press in. In Hebrews 11:29, it says, "By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." We're fighting the Egyptians. It was God against the Egyptians, and God won. His will be done. So it's an incredible picture. The next thing that we want to look at is that Moses teaches us to choose the treasures of heaven rather than the treasures of earth. That we choose the treasures of heaven, that there's more to look forward to than on this life than the treasures of earth. And you've heard before people talk about how we don't want to be storing up and we don't need all the greatest cars and the greatest houses and wealth and all of those things. You've heard it before. But what does it mean to store up and to choose the treasures of heaven? In Moses' case, what we learned is that he was willing to let go of everything he knew. He knew what he could have had if he would have stayed with the Egyptians. He knew how hard it was to fight and hear the grumbling. No matter how much they would twist God's word, no matter what they did, he still showed us that chasing what God had, following his will, was far greater and more valuable than anything that any person could offer him, no matter how difficult it was. In Hebrews 11:26, Moses has said, "He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead for his reward." Moses chose to suffer. He chose to do whatever it is God did. He didn't do it perfectly. He wavered at times. He was fearful. He didn't know what the heck was going on. He's human. But he chose to follow what God had, because what he was doing was looking forward to what lied ahead. And how could you not in a lot of ways? You see all of the power, all of the things that Moses was able to do because God was doing it through him. So in a lot of ways, I see that what choice would you have? Would you really take something temporary over what was eternal? We have so much to be thankful for and so much to store up that is it worth it trying to invest so much in this world? In Matthew 16:26, it says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? I actually had someone recently say to me, we have everything. We're always trying to get more money, invest more, make our house nicer, get a bigger house, have better status. She's all, our family is about status. She's all, I wish that all they knew, that everybody would throw it all away for the number one gift, and that is Christ. And she breaks down because all the thing that she wants for her family is for each and every single one of them to be striving for him, not for the things that are temporary in this world. And I've talked to people who said, I want to make my mark on this earth. I want to be remembered. I want my kids to look at me and say I was the greatest at everything. I want them to have everything. I want to leave them what I didn't have. And my thought is, I want to leave my daughter the gift of salvation. Because I want to live eternity with her and with my Lord. I want her life to be as full as it can be, walking out on this earth. Because there's treasures here, right now, walking with the Lord. Life is not easy, but it is full of glory for him. And we want that for our families and those that we love. And so the greatest gift is to be striving for what's ahead. We will all die. We will all wither away. And what we've stored up here does not go with us. We leave it behind. But what we have, the reward in heaven, to sit in glory, we just can't even imagine. But it is something to strive for, and it is better to look towards that in heaven than it is here on earth. The other point that we learn from Moses is that we need to remember what the Lord has done and always give thanks. Moses in Deuteronomy 8 is reminding the Israelites of what they've received from God and what he's provided for them. And he says, praise the Lord your God. And he wants them to because their land is good. They've been given plenty of food. They've been brought to a land that has tons of natural resources that will multiply. That will multiply their wealth. They'll live in great houses. But then he goes on and he says to them, but your hearts are going to become proud if you don't give thanks. You'll forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and you will take credit for it, and you will become proud. He's warning them, do not forget what has been done for you, what your ancestors went through to get you to where you are right now. In verse 18 of Deuteronomy 8, it says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Many of the ancestors that he's talking about, they didn't have the things that they have now. They suffered. They didn't have as much food. They didn't have as much freedom. They did not reap as many benefits as we reap today. And many of you in here could actually say that you have family members or relative or ancestry in which you know they did not prosper like you possibly are today. And so we need to remember what the Lord's done for us. Giving thanks is not a feeling. It's an attitude. We don't just give thanks because we feel happy today. Because we feel, oh, I feel kind of good. I think I'll praise God for that. Giving thanks happens every moment of every day, no matter how we're feeling, what we're doing, or what we're going through. In Romans 6:6, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Do we understand that our salvation has no longer made us slaves? We are free. The Israelites were free. And Moses wanted them to know, remember where we came from. Many of us can remember our lives prior to being sons and daughters of a king and accepting that and knowing that. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We have so much to be thankful for. From the smallest thing to the biggest thing, we can continuously be thankful. And we're going into this Thanksgiving season, and sometimes these holidays make us think that we only need to do it that one time. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to always be thankful. We're to always try to take some time to reflect. I know there's moments where we say to ourselves, well, he's not really hearing me today. This day's not working out so well. But if we took a moment and said, but he's brought me here today. I woke up and I have breath today. I get to have another day of life, relationship, of love, joy, and yes, of suffering. We have much to be thankful for. So what I want to do is I want to close out this service by us actually having an active moment of thanks. And I'm going to challenge all of you to not leave the building, but to participate. When you came in, you were given a leaf, and I know many of you are wearing them as necklaces, and that's okay. What you'll see on the trees right now is last night's service. What we are asking everybody to do is to write down what you're thankful for. Taking this moment to really pray and say to yourself, what is it that I am thankful for? And writing it on that leaf and hanging it on these trees. We want, as a church body, to not just hear the word, but we want to be active in what we hear and do. And then what you write down, I challenge us to pray about and be thankful for every single day, that we remember what we wrote on that leaf and we thank him for what we have or who we wrote on there or whatever it is. What I'd like to do is ask us all to stand as we close in prayer. I'd like us to know that last night when we started this, those trees were bare. There wasn't anything on them. And now we're seeing life, it seems like to me, where trees are bearing fruit because we're giving thanks to him. Because we give him all the glory. Therefore, we multiply. We produce fruit, and then there's life in our lives, just like on these trees. These trees are going to be here next weekend as we gather together, and so we'll have next service also. And it's a time where we can look and say, we are gathering together as brothers and sisters to be thankful, to remember, and to praise him. And so let me close us out in a prayer and then bless us and then we can go. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for every person here, and I thank you for the heroes of the Bible, those that you inspired to be written about so we can learn, so we can follow, and so we can know, despite our shortcomings, despite our struggles, you can still use us. We are all heroes as long as we are moving towards you, seeking your will and walking in faith. Lord, I give every person here to you. I give myself to you. Lord, I pray that this week as we go out and we celebrate Thanksgiving, that every moment of every day, we would take the opportunity to say thank you for life, for breath, for your son, Jesus. I give you every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed.